Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Thursday, March 17, 2022. The time is 10:04 a.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Stevens, Senator Machicki, Senator Begich, myself as Chair, Senator Holland. I believe Senator Hughes is listening in. Senator Hughes, if you're out there, do you just want to chime in real quick? Let us know you're there.
Good morning, Chair Holland. I am here.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you to Mary Gwen, our recording secretary, and Kelsey, our moderator for today. And as a reminder, please silence your cell phones. Today, we're going to finish working on Senate Bill 34 relating to tribal compact schools. I will now bring Senate Bill 34 back before the committee. This is our eighth hearing on this bill. We do have a new committee substitute for this bill. Senator Stevens, would you care to make a motion?
Yes, sir. Mr. Chairman, I move to adopt a proposed committee substitute for Senate Bill 34, Work Order 32LS0309/G as our working document.
I will object for discussion. Mr. King, if you would please walk us through the changes in the committee substitute after you put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Ed King, staff to Senator Holland. Mr. Chairman, the CS before you is a complete rewrite of the bill. Rather than trying to work through the complex issues that have been raised in various committee meetings, this new version of Senate Bill 34 would simply direct the parties to negotiate those terms and bring to the legislature a report on the statutes that are necessary to be changed in order to enact it. The CS also outlines a timeline in order to make sure that the negotiations continue on pace. The first deadline is for tribes to indicate their desire to participate in the compact. That deadline is December 31st of 2022. There's then a deadline for the board to initiate negotiations on March 31st of 2023, and then a deadline of January 31st, 2024 for the parties to submit to the legislature a report of recommended legislation in order to enact the bill. The compact. And then the legislature has until January 31st, 2029 to approve that enabling legislation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. King. Are there any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak to the bill, too.
Senator Begich?
I think my first question is, and what if they don't approve it by 2029? I have three questions, so if I may.
Mr. Chairman, the temporary law would expire unused at that point.
My second question, maybe it's for you, maybe the department, maybe the sponsor, maybe for Mr. Malott, but it's today, doesn't the authority exist within, if you elect a school board, you have an elected school board, can't they make a negotiation today? Do we even need legislation? Can't there be tribal compacting legislation now? Couldn't a locally elected school board enter into an agreement with its tribe locally now and do this? Is there anything in the law that's prohibiting it now?
Senator Begich, to the chair, I think there might be two questions embedded in that question, if I can answer them. First, the answer to your direct question on whether a school board can negotiate with the tribe through the charter school program, yes, that is an option that is available. However, if there are issues in education laws at the state level that need to be amended or relaxed or changed in some form in order to allow the tribal compact school to fully accomplish its mission, the legislature would need to take some action. What we've seen in the discussions in this committee is that those issues are very complex, and we're simply out of time this legislative cycle to complete those complex negotiations. And perhaps even it could be argued that this body isn't the right body to negotiate those terms, and that the parties, the tribes, and the department are better situated to negotiate what statutes should be amended. And that is why the direction is to the Board of Education to negotiate those terms and bring recommendations back to the legislature. Mr. Chairman, the second part of that question, can they just do this now at the state level, is also appropriate. There's nothing, this is uncodified law. This is just guidance to the department to take an action. So the legislature's strong affirmation that they support those negotiations.
And that's my final question, Mr. Chair, which is, so I would just confuse why the committee wouldn't be the right place for, and the legislature be the right place to set these policies as opposed to just foregoing our responsibility. I mean, other bills we've held on to for numerous, you know, as we've begun to shave. And I mean, I'm willing to move the bill out. What I feel is that we're letting go of an opportunity to claim success here because we've really done nothing. And to me, if we really are serious about tribal compacting, then we as a committee should be focused on that. And what we're going to do instead is just say, oh, we'll deal with it next year. That's what it feels like to me. And I don't want us to do that. I don't think, unless that's what the committee really wants us to do. And,
Senator Banks, I'll say that's, you know, we invest, I believe this was the eighth meeting. And honestly, it just seemed like the more we discussed it, the more can of worms we opened, the fewer worms we were able to stuff back into the can. And I was just not sure that we could make progress on it this year. I fully welcome us to, if we're all sitting here in January of 2023, to start slugging away at this again. But this, I do believe, we'll hear from AFN, was seen as a way forward to make some immediate progress on this. Mr. King, do you have anything on that?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little history. You know, this whole issue started because of the Alaska Educational Challenge, and was one of the six requirements or so that came out of that program called by the Commissioner of Education. And it's an issue that I think is of great importance. It is really a transformational change in education. It's a big issue, but it's very complex. And frankly, I'm a little disappointed that we're not really making a stronger statement about the importance, about the need for working with tribes on this. But maybe this is the best we can do this year. So I guess I'd say that our plans were pretty ambitious and unattainable, and I appreciate the fact you've had 8 hearings on it. This is maybe a baby step, you know, one step closer towards doing this. I want to thank everyone who's been involved. I want to thank AFN, and you have a letter from Julie Kitchen, the president, that really explains their interest in it. So, a little disappointed that we haven't made more progress, but understand that we've made a big stab at it, and whether this really accomplishes anything or not, I'm not so sure. But I do appreciate the attention it's received. And as I said, it's not the answer, but it's a baby step towards solving the problem that we face.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. And as Senator Stevens mentioned, I do have a letter of support from President Julie Kitka of AFN, and we will have some words, I believe, from Benjamin Malott and Joel Isaac shortly. But at this point, if there is no other discussion on the committee substitute, I will remove my objection. And if there is no further objection, version G is our working document. So at this time, I'll go to Benjamin Malott. Mr. Malott, if you have any comments on the committee substitute, I'd invite you to place yourself on the record and offer your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me all right?
We can hear you, and also as a reminder, name, affiliation, and your location to put yourself on the record.
Perfect. Thanks. My name is Ben Malott. I have the honor of serving as Vice President of AFN, and I'm calling in from Anchorage, Alaska right now. For the record, I just want to mention that I talked to Judy last night. She apologized she can't be here in person or virtually. She's at a military conference in Lower 48, in a secure location, so they won't allow her to have a cell phone or a computer that can have called and testified today. So she apologizes. She really wishes she could be here. I also want to thank Senator Stevens, Chairman Holland, and the committee for their hard work on this bill. As Senator Stevens has mentioned, it is a very complex issue, and we do appreciate your work on this bill as well as the committees, and also keeping the momentum going forward. As such, AFN does support the substitute, I think G that's in front of you today. And we also look forward to working with it in its next steps as well. So I don't have much else to add to that, but we just want to thank you and also, you know, look forward to his progress.
All right. Thank you, Vice President Malott. Or any questions from the committee?
Mr. Chair, this is Shelley. I have a question.
Senator Hughes, please put forward your question.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm just wondering, in the committee substitute, it talks about five projects in 5 years. Is that something that was discussed with Julie and AFN, and it sounds like you're generally in support, but I'm just wondering about the five demonstration projects over the 5 year period, if that seems adequate.
Vice President Malott, would you like to speak to that, or would you like me to talk on it?
I'll defer to you, Ms. Chair, first, if that's okay with you.
Yes, that was discussed with President Kitka, and it was negotiated with her.
And follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up
with you. Yes, thank you. I think that's important. I appreciate that because I know there was a bit of difference at one of our hearings where I believe Deed expressed an unlimited number. So I just wanted to make sure that was a workable arrangement. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Stevens.
You might ask Tim Lamkin or Isaac, I think you'd help give some information on that issue.
Mr. Lamkin, do you care to come take a seat at the presenter's table and offer some insight?
Nice kill.
I was going to say something, but happy St. Patty's Day.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Tim Lamkin, staff to Senator Stevens. In the context of approaching this as a charter school model, in the history of charter school models, we started off with a cap of the number of charters at that time back in the early, late 90s. And in the context of conversation with AFN, with Ms. Kitka and others, it was all agreed upon to start off to have some parameters on this, to start small, look at it over time, and then build it, scale it up.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lamkin. Anything else from the committee for Vice President Malott? All right. At this point, I will invite the administration to the table, Joel Isaac. And if Mr. Isaac, you'd place yourself on the record and offer any comments the administration may have on the committee substitute.
Thank you, Joel Isaac, Department of Education, Tribal Liaison Project Coordinator. And to the chair, I appreciate the opportunity to be before you. And again, echoing the thanks for the amount of time in committee spent on this. I do feel like, and the discussions from the department, that the amount of focused energy by the committee to work through these details, it is complex in nature, and it can be expressed in simple terms where compacting is in a relationship kind of concept. It's a living thing. And if you think about, if you have a five-year-old in front of you, and you're gonna say when they get married, when they're gonna buy their first car, when they're gonna graduate from college, what their degree is gonna be, that's, you can't just tell a five-year-old what that is, because it's a relationship. They're growing, they're evolving over time, they're learning. And that's part of why compacting as a concept can seem very complex, but as a process, there are ways to simplify it. And I think that this CS does that. The negotiations process, having those conversations up front with tribes, allows tribal leadership to be directly involved. And that's a really critical piece to success. And this does that. So that's step one. What creates a successful compact? Tribal involvement, making that process. So this allows for that while still making it under the confines of the State Board of Education and the legislature. So it's not a separate system. It is part of our current ongoing efforts and our ongoing system that allows space to have those conversations with tribes and then come back to the legislature with a very well-crafted, comprehensive plan so that those questions that we've been discussing will be able to, you'll be able to see those questions answered and answer things like possible, like how many students is this? Where is this happening? Those kinds of questions will be able to be presented so that's less talking about a hypothetical situation and more speaking to the reality of what would need to take place. The timeframes in here are also, I believe, adequate. It's fast enough and also not too slow, because we do want this to move forward, but it does take time to work through getting the information, working it out, having those negotiations, those conversations. The time frame is inadequate. It's a good time frame to be able to do that. And so I'm expressing support and also appreciation for the work with AFN on this. I think the concepts in here from speaking with tribes, I've spoken with two tribes this week in varying sizes, and some of the comments and questions about what on the tribal side, what does this look like? What are we getting into? This also allows the tribes to have clarity on what they would be expected to do and expected to receive. And so I think it's a good way, when I see demonstration, I ask the question, what are we demonstrating? And I think this allows to answer that question and come up with a very well-developed proposal to move forward in the future, and it gives the time to do that. So I'll finish with my support for this in that manner. Dan, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that input, Mr. Isaac. Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a observation first and then a question for you. But the observation is, you know, I think a lot of us thought at the beginning of last year that we wouldn't move anywhere with this idea or concept, and I think that would have been a mistake, because the right thing to do is to move forward, constantly moving forward and seeing if we can't find better solutions. And I think we are moving forward, and the fact that the committee has had so many hearings on the bill, we've literally been negotiating the bill. We've been negotiating the compact or a form of compact. And so you're describing a process that I can understand, that negotiation will happen. It'll go on over the next, if this bill passes and the governor signs it, it will go on over the next year. And then there'll be a proposal brought back to this committee or the body as a whole. And so this is the question. How do you envision that process will go if you find that you've negotiated in good faith an agreement between the department and a tribe or tribes or AFN in terms of a template agreement perhaps or something like that, and you've done that work and you bring it here and then you run into significant pushback? Does that mean you go back to the drawing board and renegotiate, or is it a fait accompli that whatever's negotiated will be the final product? Or how do you envision that, Joel? If you could walk me through that, so I know that we're not just letting go of an opportunity that I think our indigenous population would like us to move forward with. I don't want us to let it go if there's a chance it could just fall by the wayside. So I want to make sure we're actually continuing forward momentum. Could you describe how you see that process when we come back next year with the agreement before us?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, I appreciate the question. I think that when we're looking at anything into the future, there is always risk. And so just that there is risk for something like that. However, this allows for the process to involve the legislature throughout, and bringing back those recommendations to this committee, to the body as a whole, on how that's going, allows for that, I would say, accountability to check, to catch things early. So if there is a red flag, that's communicated early on, rather than it waiting until it comes to 2 years down the road, and then it's like all of a sudden this was it falls apart. So I think that the checks are built into it. And how you as a committee member might experience that interaction would be the communications and ongoing negotiation part of figuring this out would be possibly inviting legislators to attend that. If the state board is going to be involved, if it's a state board meeting, there's public comment. So not that the public comment is eclipsing the tribal involvement, but there still is a public process for this that I think helps keep a temperature check for how is this going along. It's a way of providing more input and for seeing how it's progressing. That's built into this. And so I feel that another way maybe to answer the question, because we're talking about future processes and what that might look like, is that if we look at how when tribes have been at the helm for solving issues in especially rural Alaska or Alaska statewide Alaska issues, they have an ability to work together without sacrificing their individuality as being a tribal government. And that we look at that model, and that's what I would expect to see through the process is collaboration and being able to put that into what is the reality of what the tribe's capacity is, the location where they're at, their readiness, those kinds of things are what comes forward. And I do think that it's a very worthwhile piece to move forward on and take this, even if it seems like a small first step, considering how far we have to go, progress helps bring people along. So there's this large critical mass that can't move yet. And taking a step allows a lot more motion of that big critical mass behind to start aligning towards something. And so I think that is also the other critical piece. Without knowing the future, this signals to tribes, it's clear that the state of Alaska is wanting to go towards this and focus energy in this way. And tribes have access to things like federal funding to do that. They have their own community members who are already voluntarily doing this work. And again, it focuses that, which is really what is needed, is that clear signal to go down a compacting path.
If I could follow up.
Follow up, Senator Begich?
You mentioned the need for there to be a broader group of people addressing this. And I think that the key is that your level of inclusiveness from the department in this negotiation process is going to be critical, because if you involve folks that are going to effectively make the decision in the long run in a legislative body, and just as the commissioner did with the education challenge, you're more likely to have success with the body if you've developed a level of expertise within the body as well, whether it's in the House or in the Senate or both, or however you may do that. I would highly encourage you to be more inclusive, not less inclusive. And I would also say that within, you know, we have 229 recognized tribes up here, so there's a lot of inclusion that should occur if you're going to go down. If you feel confident going down that road, it cannot be limited to a few. It must be open to many, or you will get resistance and pushback. And the more we have knowledge, the better off it's going to be. So I would encourage you to be more inclusive.
Through the chair, if I could follow up, it's kind of an answer to your previous question, and that sparked a focus point, if I may. Through the chair, Senator Badge, Joel Isaac, for the record. I think that is a great example to highlight the success and why Indian Health Service compacting is so successful. So part of there's transparency. So let's say each one of us are a co-signer of a compact. And I'm having a conversation with the federal government. I negotiate something. This isn't healthcare, and I get $1 million for services. If you had negotiated yesterday and only got $500,000 for that same service, you're able to sit in on my negotiation and see how it's going. And you may not be able to speak in that negotiation, but you're able to be in the room. And then when the negotiation process ends, you can caucus and bring up the issues again. So that's where I previously said like compacting has been a proven method to show how this works. That's some of the very granular details of why IHS compacting, Indian Health Service compacting, which is a very large multi-billion-dollar compact, is able to in a week get through the nuances of healthcare, which is again like 25 feet of federal law compared to Title 14, which is in back and it's only an inch thick. So I think that when I say negotiation, I see that in my mind, and so I appreciate you bringing that up because it's a way to express the goal is to be inclusive. And there are tribes who have said, we support compacting, we're not ready, we do want a bill to move forward. And they want to be witnessing and providing input and seeing how it's going. So that inclusive piece is critical so that they can be part of it, even if they're not the one who actually signs at the end initially. So I hope that helps kind of explain the compacting process a little bit. And also where DEED started with this conversation was the Alaska Education Challenge, which was, as has been expressed, large convening of many stakeholders. I've cold called every single tribe in the state trying to get up-to-date contact information. We sent out a tribal leader a letter explaining that this was back before the pandemic, so we started with that base and held two meetings based off of that, following up those calls. So we've been doing very widespread outreach to tribes, and then also I've been attending different conferences or different tribal engagements where I've been available in places where tribal leaders are at to talk about education, presented on it. So the department has been doing that. And I just wanted to also make that clear for the record. That's been our model so far, has been talking with large, small, across the state, really trying to start that communication process. And that's where we've been at. And so I wanted to bring that to the record, make it clear that.
Thank you, Mr. Isaac. I'm going to go to Senator Hughes next. I believe Senator Hughes has a question for Mr. Isaac.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Isaac, for being here. And the State Board launched its education challenge with this particular one, Inspire Tribal and Community Ownership of Education Excellence, in 2017. So we're at the five-year mark. You mentioned the five-year-old and evolving, and hard to know what things are going to look like in the future. And I could not hear Senator Begich very well. It was very muffled. I'm not sure what his statements were. I did hear your responses. What I'm wondering, I'm looking at the bill, and I'm realizing I'm wanting to have an understanding that I think would be helpful to all of us, what the timeline could be and what you envision as far as the readiness if in January 2024, something comes back to the legislature and the legislature were to take action in that session of 2024. Is it possible? Do you think the planning and proposals will be at the point where schools could actually launch that fall of 2024, or would it be more likely fall of 2025? Because I'm 5 years have already passed. We all have the sense that this is going to be a good thing for the students. So I just like to have a better understanding of when you think we might have school doors opening as part of the demonstration project if the legislature were to act in that January to May session in 2024.
I'll just make the quick statement. Those are deadlines. I mean, we could work faster than that, but I'll go to Mr. Isaac.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, Chinan, thank you for the question. I think a quick response to it that's succinct is 2 years is a very quick time frame that's also very realistic for a new school to come online. There's currently Kinnick Tribal Charter School that the department has been working with them through. They have received a federal grant to partner with the state. We've been providing kind of consultation support. That's part of what my job is to liaise with tribes. And it's taken them 2 years to get the school online. And so we know that it could be done faster if everything was, all the ducks were in a line and how calendars and meetings and all of that hit perfectly. But that rarely happens. And so 2 years is a realistic, proven time frame that's quick but also very attainable. And this bill in front of us, the CS, allows for that two-year process. And so I think that's one of the benefits of the timeframes that are articulated in here, is that it does allow for readiness to be developed. And it signals, again, we need to be ready. If a tribe needs to be ready by this date, that's what they're shooting for. And those are very doable goals to achieve.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Isaac.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Senator Hughes, say again.
Oh, just thank you.
All right. Senator Machicki?
I'm very sorry. I have a 10:30 that I cannot miss, but I will be.
We will still have a quorum in your absence.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Stevens, this will also agree for comments, but also it is your bill, and you may be the last one to speak on this. If you want to roll your wrap-up into it, you're welcome to.
Okay, sure. I'd be glad to, Mr. Chairman. This is this is an important issue, and I appreciate the attention the committee has given to it. And You know, it really it goes back to the beginnings with the Alaska Challenge, and we took that seriously and have worked since then. But I think it just shows that this is so complex that it's hard to push it forward the way we originally thought about it. Pretty ambitious. I appreciate the comments by Senator Begich. I think he raises a very good question. Could districts do this without us? Could they just go ahead and do this? But the problem there is that it really needs to focus from a bigger picture, from a higher altitude, to bring everyone together to see if we can really make this work. So I think it's important. I think this, again, it is maybe a baby step. We got to keep our eyes on why we're doing this. It's to affect the students, to make sure that they have every opportunity. I don't think the school boards could really do this the way we can, and I think it needs a statewide focus, and I look forward to seeing this progress and be successful in the future.
All right. Thank you, Senator Stevens. Thank you, Mr. Isaac. At this point, we do have this committee substitute before us. Are there any amendments? Seeing none, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Stevens, do you care to offer the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate Education Committee substitute for Senate Bill 34, Work Order 32-LS0309/G, be reported from the committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes.
Without objection, committee substitute Senate Bill 34, Version G, has been reported from the committee with individual recommendations and forthcoming fiscal notes. I appreciate Senator Majicki. I don't think he realized we were this close to the end. I appreciate him being able to stay around till the end. We will sign the paperwork after adjourning. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, our next meeting is Friday, March 18th at 9 a.m., and I just want to offer my appreciation to Senator Hughes, who joined us on the phone, and the other committee members making themselves available for this Thursday, not usually regularly scheduled meeting of the Senate Education Committee. And at this point, I might have mentioned, our next meeting is Friday, March 18th at 9 a.m., and we're adjourned at 10:37.